God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, looking for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit again this morning. I pray divine anointing on Jonathan as he shares. Open our hearts, our minds, Lord, with the wind of heaven blow through this place again this morning through your Spirit. You are here and we give you honor and glory. Do what you do best, Lord, changing us, breaking us, molding us into your image. We just love you, Jesus, and give you glory for all you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Bring your greetings. Happy New Year. Steve told me I should say that. It's good to, we were away last Sunday, and just coming back, I just wanted to tell you that just you guys bring so much joy to my heart. Just love you. I love the church. I love to see the life and the passion. The love that you have for each other is incredible. It's beautiful. And just to see you growing in grace and to see the life of Christ just coming out of you, I just feel I'm so privileged to be a part of the church here and to walk with you and just young people, you inspire me. I would have given so much to be a part of this when I was 17. And so you inspire me, you bless me, you encourage me many times. And I kind of felt like, yeah, these are my people. Just being away 1 week and coming back, and it's like I missed you. And so good to be with you and appreciate your prayers. We are beginning a new year, and I don't know why I'm not one to really do New Year's resolutions. In fact, I sort of had a negative view of them in the past, but some things have shifted in how I've looked at this year, and so it's been on my mind a lot, and I just wanted to throw it out here and just see if we could talk about this. I want some feedback from you. Are New Year's resolutions a good idea? Are they a bad idea? What are your thoughts? And if you could just work with me a little bit here, I want to ask you, how many of you generally make New Year's resolutions? Would you raise your hand? So we've got, raise them high. I can't see very well. Okay. So I don't know how many people are here, but about 7 of you. Any more? Did I miss someone? Just 7 of you. So not really something you're into. So the ones that raise their hands, how many of you generally keep those resolutions? Now, if you made a resolution, do you stick with it, all the way through? How has that been going? Raise your hand. So out of the 7, there's 2 that were kind of going like this. So what are the pros and what are the cons? What are your thoughts? Maybe let's start with the ones who make them. Why do you do it? Maybe you have maybe you can sell the idea to the rest of us. We have a mic ready. Or maybe there's some who generally don't make them, but you still think it's a good idea. What do you think? Let's come up with a list of reasons why we should make New Year's resolutions. Up here.
I don't know if I want to make the claim that you're supposed to make New Year's resolutions or like January 1st is when you're supposed to do it. But there's something about like January 1st being a good starting point if you do want to like, I'd say if you want to do something, do it right away. But there is something about January 1st that kind of makes it like a new beginning. It's a new year. There's a good place to start. But something that I've found by not necessarily making resolutions, but like goals for the year, I found like if I write them down and I'm just praying over them through the year, I find God does so much more with that than if I just have something, I want to do something and not actually implementing them. I think making resolutions or goals for the new year and having just like a where you think God's leading you and praying over that, I've seen God do so much in that, and like he actually doing those things that that you're writing down.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thinking about New Year's resolution, maybe a better word for what I sometimes do is make plans. And just kind of take inventory of your life and look at where it is at and say, okay, where do I want to go from here and how do I position myself to maybe achieve that? And one of my New Year's resolutions for this year was to make decisions, not just wait, but to make decisions. And after I had made that, one thing that became very clear to me is to be able to do that, we have to walk in more clarity. And I'll just share that because that's my New Year's resolution. And it's not, in the end of the year, if you asked if I accomplished it, that's why my hand was going kind of like this. I think I've walked in clarity and made decisions, but could I have done better? Yes, but look to God's grace for that.
To me, one of the pros of goals, just in general, or resolutions, if you want to call them, is it gives you something you're working towards. And I think people, we set them, but yeah, if you sit down, you write them down, and you think through them, and then also the steps you're going to have to take to accomplish those goals. I think that's a pro to making resolutions.
I just would like to echo what some of the others were saying about the goals thing. I'm a very goal-oriented person, and so if I don't have things to shoot for, it feels kind of like my life is just slipping away and I'm not really paying attention. But I like to take more of a monthly approach to it, where at the beginning of the year I like to have some goals and then break it up by month, where each month I work on like a specific goal for that month, so that it doesn't feel quite as overwhelming and I'm able to accomplish it more more easily.
Yeah, well, I would say that's a pretty convincing list there. What would be some of the cons? Who has anything to say against that? Or if you want to speak into maybe even outside of what was shared, go ahead.
Okay, so I have in general usually been against New Year's resolutions. And one of the things that I think is if we compile a big long list of things that we want to accomplish and the kind of person we want to be, and then try to attack it all in January, which is potentially the month of the year that we should be hunkering down and trying to survive winter instead of trying to come up with all these new plans and goals. Maybe if you like space them out, I think personally it's much more beneficial for me to make goals and resolutions in the spring rather than in the new year.
Right.
So a con, in my opinion, and this maybe just reflects my personality, I'm very all or nothing. So for me, I used to make massive resolutions, and then 2 weeks in, I would miss a day of like working out, and then I was like, I'm done for. This is it. This is the end. And I think for myself, I've just found it's a lot more beneficial. I don't know, kind of what Grace was saying, just, well, actually not really. I didn't compile my thoughts before speaking. For me, it's more like every week, just coming at it. Like my goals, I just can't do the yearly thing generally, but that's probably a personality thing.
Actually, I'd say that's maybe not a personality thing, but probably a larger picture of, I don't know, just setting ourselves up with too big of expectations in ourselves, and it results in missing that goal and feeling like a failure. And I think that's through the years been my negative connotation of New Year's resolutions. But yeah, that would be a con.
I'm not sure if I don't think I ever really made huge resolutions going into a year, but recently, or the last couple years sometimes, is asking the Lord, what do you have for me this coming year? And it might be a word, it might be a phrase, it might be a picture, but just asking the Lord what he has for me. So it's not really a resolution, but kind of like what Ivan said, is looking ahead, maybe goal setting, having vision into the year. You can do that anytime, but the new year is it's a calendar reset for myself, so it's an easy, whether you do it weekly or monthly or annually, it gives you a good calendar reset to maybe do bigger picture, not always all the nitty-gritty details of how it looks each day.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks for that. Looking at both sides, I thought of the dictionary definition, because we've been trying to define that in different ways. Well, the dictionary definition, at least one source, is a promise that you make to yourself to start doing something good or stop doing something bad on the first day of the year. So that's a pretty basic, most commonly maybe understood definition of a New Year's resolution. Some of us were suggesting that maybe we look broader than that and see it from a little different perspective or angle, and that's very much where I'm going with this today. I think if we just break out of that little box that it's sometimes put into and maybe look at it from a bigger picture, maybe there's some things that we can benefit from. So, yeah, I feel like some of the things were mentioned already, but we're going to go over them. What are some other ways of thinking about this? And so let's think outside of the box that we've often put that into, because I think most of us understand, and we think about the cons, we understand the shortfalls of that. We understand how often it doesn't bring about real change, real lasting change in our lives. It's maybe a spontaneous, emotional moment that we have in the new year, and we make this promise to ourselves, and there's nothing really thought through or planned out on how we're actually going to achieve that, and so it becomes discouraging, and so we end up with sort of a negative view of New Year's resolutions. Is there a difference between a New Year's resolution where I promise myself that I will not do certain things or that I will start doing certain things, as opposed to creating realistic, bite-sized goals that I work towards? So that's kind of where I want to start. It's not where we're going to end here today, but I just want to maybe tweak that a little bit and say, okay, maybe just taking that basic definition and maybe refocusing that a little bit and just saying, is there maybe a difference between that spontaneous emotional decision I made that I haven't really thought through on how to achieve compared to a realistic bite-sized goal that I work towards? So that's more what I want to focus on today, at least as we get started. What do I want to bring with me into 2025, and what do I want to leave back in 2024? Quoted by one of you sitting here this morning, I that just stuck with me. We had this conversation on at the New Year's party, and someone put it that way, and I just haven't been able to forget that. I love that. I love the way they put that. I think that's a nice way of thinking about it. What do I want to bring with me into 2025, and what am I wanting just to leave behind? And this is a quote by a couple other quotes by someone I don't know who, but you may have heard this. If you always keep doing what you have always done, you will always get what you always got. And I think that's something for us to ponder and think about. You know, I'm getting older. I think I am. I'm north of 50 now. And I thought about it, especially when I turned 40, it felt like I was on top of the hill and it's just going to be coasting from here on. No, but it felt like there was sort of like that mid-age crisis that I always heard people talk about. I actually went through something like that, and I think a part of it was just reflecting on my life and realizing that I had a lot of aspirations and ideals and goals that I was experiencing disappointment in. You know, as a 20-year-old, as a 25-year-old, and where I'm going to go, and what I'm going to accomplish, and what my life is going to look like. And then realizing when I'm 40 that a lot of those things that those ideals and aspirations that I had, I haven't realized yet fully. And there was a time of discouragement, a season of discouragement that I went through, where I became disillusioned at around 40 or so. I became disillusioned with life. I became disillusioned, discouraged with where I was going and where I was coming from. And I felt like it was a season that God allowed me to go through to teach me lessons that I needed to learn. But one of the things that I think this reality also began to sink in, that if I keep doing what I've always done, I'm going to keep getting what I've always got. And as another person put it, the definition of stupidity is when you repeat the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results each time. And so I think that's something that we also need to consider in whatever stage we're in, whether we're 17 or whether we're 80, you know, it doesn't really matter. But we need to at times assess our life with honesty. And we need to say, do I, you know, even, and I'm bringing this into the context of New Year's resolutions, you know, if we're adults, most of us, I'm speaking mostly to adults, I'm sure the children can learn from this, but as adults, as responsible adults, we need to learn to connect the dots in our lives. We need to learn to connect cause and effect, and in an honest way. Sort of a self-evaluation way. And we need to understand that what we do, decisions that we make, and this is something that's developed as we mature. We know that children are often not able to connect those dots. And they repeat things. They repeat mistakes. And so they keep doing the same thing over and over again, somehow thinking there's going to be a different result next time. But one of the signs of maturing as a person, as a human, but also as a believer, is where we learn to connect those dots. We learn to understand and recognize that this and this and this results in this. And as long as I keep doing this or not doing that, my life is going to be revolving around the same issues over and over and over again. And so this is how I like to put it. When I think about New Year's resolutions, I just want to put it in this framework. And I'm going to move it beyond just a New Year's, as someone pointed out, maybe, and even beyond just spring. Like, let's not just get through winter, but let's think about it as a season of time. And I think there's many reasons why the beginning of the year may be a good time for this. Most of us get some time off of work, and you know, we have holidays. We have time out of our hectic lives, and we have some space to reflect and to refocus. And I think that's one of the reasons why maybe the beginning of the year would be one of those seasons that would be a good time to do this. But taking the time to reflect on my life in the presence of God and allow the Spirit to renew my mind and bring me back into alignment with God's priorities for me in this season. So that's the framework that I want to put this in as an encouragement for us to consider, even those of us who generally have not liked or had more of a negative view on New Year's resolutions. Maybe just put that on the box and think about it in this framework and say, God, is there something here for me? Is there something that I could learn? Is there something that I could be doing that could be a blessing in my life and for those around me? Recently, we watched a movie or a documentary, whatever it was called. It's called Alone. But it's a documentary of these 10 people. It was 10 people who would be given a certain amount of items. I think it might have been 10 items. I'm not sure. But it was 10 people, 10 items that they were allowed in their backpack. And they were dropped off by plane or boat in some remote wilderness area. And they were there. They were supposed to be there and try to make it as long as they could in survival. So they had some basic tools, a remote place by themselves. And they were, and the winner was going to get like $500,000, and so they're all going to try to stay there the longest. And some of them were out there for weeks. Some of them, one person was out there for less than a day, and some were out for many weeks. But they were there in solitude with some basic tools of survival, not knowing when anyone else was tapping out. And so they're going to try to stick it out as long as possible. Some of them, their goal was to stay out there for a year. Some of them, you know, for 30 days or whatever. But the point I want to make is it was very interesting for me to watch this because they would record themselves in the process. Each person would speak, and they had a video camera. And so they would sort of record their feelings, their emotions, their thoughts as they were out there. You know, one person comes out there and is like, yeah, you know, he's all excited and he's pumped up. And day after day, the grind of being by themselves in solitude began to wear on them and in the emotional effect it began to have on them. But one of the things that I noticed for almost all of them is that there was a lot of self-reflection that started happening. And I think some of them were believers, but not all of them were. But across the board, believers, unbelievers, same thing was happening. There's a lot of reflection. Because remember, they're by themselves. They have all the distractions that they were used to in normal life was gone. They had nothing with them but some basic tools. No internet, no friends, no social life. All of that stuff was missing. And for every one of them, almost across the board, within a few days into this, and especially a few weeks, there's a lot of self-reflection. There's a lot of them that started going back into their past, memories, things they had buried, things that were that they had even tried to forget. And some, a lot of them began to talk about that. You know, these things, these memories, these emotions, this pain, this hurt from their past, the mistakes they had made, all of that started catching up with them and bearing on their mind. And some of it was healthy, some of it was obviously they were not working through it in a healthy way. But the remarkable thing is, to me, was that how it seemed to affect each one of them similarly by simply taking distractions out of their life. They began to look back and reevaluate their priorities, their goals, who they really are, where they're going. And I think that's a good thing. Most of us live very fast-paced, busy, distracted lives. We need to be very intentional about quietness and reflection. And I say that as one who's in the trenches with you. I've said that already, and I say that publicly this morning, that distractions are one of the greatest hindrances in my life of spiritual growth, is distractions in all its various forms. And so I would say that we need to be very intentional about quietness and reflection. I think one of the strategies that the enemy uses against us, and I think he's very clever with this and very strategic in how he does this, because he knows each of us very well, and he knows our peculiar weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and he will prey on those vulnerabilities in any way he can to distract us from our focus. and sidestep us and trip us up over and over and over again. And until we discover and understand what those distractions are and the strategy that the enemy is using, we're not going to be able to grow like God wants us to grow. We're not going to prosper in some of those areas because he's going to be successful in tripping us up in the same way over and over again until somehow we wake up to that and we say, I see what he's doing. I see the strategy that he's using in my life, and I'm not going to put up with it. And sometimes it's self-reflection. Sometimes it's quietness. Sometimes it's drawing near to God. Sometimes it's coming into his presence over a period of time where God begins to unveil that and expose that and bring that to the light in our lives. But if we're constantly running and running and running, and no, I did not read Mark Comer, but I have that book preached to me in my home enough that I've learned to value some of his ideas. Still don't like what he says about the Sabbath. So I'm not preaching Sabbath this morning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. I can see by your expressions you're blank. Either way, I think I do definitely promote reflection, solitude, a season of drawing near to God. Jesus would often withdraw himself into the wilderness to spend time with his Father. Jesus would do that. He's our example. He would withdraw into the wilderness. He would remove himself from the busyness of life and the distractions. And sometimes, if you notice, when he did that, it was often before a really busy season. You know, the one time he did it before, he appointed the 12 apostles. He withdrew for a time of prayer and reflection. And I think we need that. And so if January, from Christmas to New Year's, can be an opportunity for you to do it, then grab a hold of it. Use that. Use that for a time of reflection. Use that time for a time of renewal. Use that for a time. See, some of the times that have worked the best for me has actually been, you know, a simple thing as the men's Joy Bible Camp thing. Or maybe it's been going to a seminar in the U.S., you know, where I'm away for a week and I can just draw near to the Father. I can in quietness, I can shut out those things. And it's a time of resetting. It's a time of refocus. And it's a time of God just sort of giving me, you know, opening my eyes to my life and where I'm at and where I'm going. It's a time of quietness and reflection. And so take full advantage of that time away from work. Maybe don't think about it so much as some New Year's resolution I need to make, but rather, God, how can I refocus and align myself with your priorities in my life? In Psalm 131, verse 2, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, a weaned child is a child who's no longer looking to mom to provide its milk, but as it is weaned from that, so it enjoys the presence of his mom without constantly wanting to be fed. There's a quietness that I think comes with that. And so the psalmist is saying that I have calmed and quieted my soul. And I think there's a responsibility that we have in doing this. I get myself into a place, I'm a deep thinker, and I'm often, my mind is very busy. And I find sometimes when I get into this rut that my mind is racing constantly. I'm going here, I'm going there, and I'm just full of things, right? And so I get my Bible and I sit down. Well, what do you think is going to happen in that state of mind? Or I listen to my Bible app. Where do you think my mind is? It's racing here. It's racing there. It's racing there. And so I'm hearing with this and I'm hearing with this. I'm distracted. And that takes discipline to quiet myself before God. Or I come to prayer. And one of the reasons I pray out loud a lot is because of distractions. I find if I'm just kneeling there quietly. And so to combat that, I get up and I walk around. I go walking down the road. I go walking in the neighborhood. I, I get the dogs barking, and I disturb the neighbors because I'm serious about staying focused. Because I know that's a vulnerability in my life. That's a distraction in my life, is distractions. That's a stumbling block. And so I compensate for that in whatever way I need to. Taking honest inventory of my life, taking the time to reflect on this before God, and seeking his direction on practical change that he wants to bring in my life. This is something that all of us get to do. You know, the Bible talks about building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Some of us have a tendency to just sit around expecting God to just sort of do stuff. You know, we're passive. We're not aggressively pursuing God. We need to be aggressive in our pursuit of God. I tell you, if you're not aggressive in your pursuit of God, I'm not sure you're going to make it. Because there is someone who's aggressively working against you, and that's the enemy. And if we're just going to be passive, and humdrum, you know, God, go to meeting after meeting, just hoping God will somehow do something, you know? Bless the Lord, he does things sometimes unexpectedly, and heaven opens and something hits us. But that's not the norm. The norm is that we pursue him aggressively, persistently, that we press into him. You know, this is war. This is war. More real than anything, any, you know, sniper, or I'm trying to think of the SEALs, you know, you think of warfare as we know it in the world. This is spiritual war. And we have an enemy that's warring against our soul. And so we cannot be passive. We can't just sit around and go to, you know, speaker after speaker and always trying to find something that are going to hit us and get us. No, God is calling us to get up, get out, be aggressive, be passionate, and pursue him, and to build ourselves up in the faith. And sometimes this gets very practical, and I just want to go there a little bit, because I mentioned bite-sized, realistic goals, okay? And I think sometimes we have to break it down in that way. These can be high and lofty ideals, but what does it look like in shoe leather? And I just want to give you one example in my life of something that I've done recently. Even just something natural, okay? This might not sound very spiritual to you, but to me it is, because everything in my life is spiritual. But I went to my children and I introduced a financial opportunity for them. I said, I have come up with an easy way for you to make $365 a year. All you have to do is ask a question once a day. And you have the potential, with a simple question, to make $365 a year. And this is how I did it. I said, okay, so I have this app on my phone. It's an exercise app. And for several years now, it's been on there for several years. And I've made some attempts because I felt like exercise would be good for me. It would be good for me physically. It would be good for me mentally. It would be good for me emotionally. And it would be even good for me spiritually to just have a routine where I exercise. But man, is that hard. Like, because I don't exercise in the morning. I'm just putting that out there. I'm a Yancey. The only thing I do in the morning is coffee. I don't exercise in the morning. And so it's in the evening. And when do you think I have time in the evening? I don't have time in the evening. I never have time in the evening. The only opportunity I have in the evening is just before I go to bed. And I usually don't go to bed until around 11 o'clock. So who feels like exercising at 11 o'clock at night? Not me. And so how well do you think I've been doing over the last few years that I've had this app on my phone? You know, how well do you think I've been doing? Not very good. I would do it for a season, and then, you know, talk about resolutions. I've made them with this app. So this year, I decided to do it a little differently. I decided to make it fun, you know, and bring some accountability into this. So I said, all right, any one of you children, I have five daughters at home, any one of you at any time, you can come to me and you can ask me, did you exercise yesterday? And if I say no, I'll give you a dollar. And so it was going pretty good for a while, and then they weren't even asking me, so I was kind of relaxed. Like, I don't know, I didn't know if they'd forgotten about it. And then the one night, we were at my parents' place, and we got home really late. I was extremely tired, and I said, what's the chance of them asking me tomorrow? Like, not real big. They haven't been asking me, so why would they ask me tomorrow? So I skipped it that night. Well, sure enough, around noon the next day, they were talking about this. They were away, and they were talking about this, and we got to text Dad and see if he did. Well, they both tried to text first because they wanted the dollar, so one managed to get the text out before the other. But would you know, I got both of their texts at exactly the same time. It was like something like 11:53, two text messages. Did you exercise? So I had to give them $2. But you know what? It hasn't happened since then. They haven't asked me since then. But it's just one thing that I'm doing that I feel is achievable, and I've decided, okay, I'm going to make it fun. I'm going to bring some accountability into this. This is a goal that I have. I'm not going to extend that offer to all of you. We'll limit that to $5 a day max damages that can happen. So I want to end here in Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So the what I want to point out in these scriptures is, first of all, looking unto Jesus. Those of us that drive a lot, we know what it's like when you're driving at night. It's dark, maybe some mist happening or snow, and there's a blinding headlight coming towards us. We know that we should not look at that headlight. The more we focus on that headlight, the more likely it is that we're going to ram into that person. The best thing to do is to focus on where you're going. And I think that's true spiritually. We need to focus not on sin, not on our problem, not on what we're trying to change, but we need to focus on Jesus. We need to fix the eyes of our heart and our gaze upon him. On relationship with him, on fellowship with him, on worship with him. And through that focus, God begins to bring the very change that we were longing to see in our lives. And he talks about the sin that so easily ensnares us. And that's what I was encouraging us earlier. What is that sin? What is that sin that you stumble in over and over and over and over again? And when is that moment where we stop and we say, if I always do what I always did, I always get what I always got? Because if I don't learn where I'm vulnerable, if I don't know why I'm stumbling, if I don't know how the enemy is getting to me, then I'm probably going to keep doing the same thing over and over again. But once I begin to understand the strategy that he uses against me and how he's using this, my weakness and my vulnerability, and I begin to strengthen that area in my life, and I begin to allow God to change me in that area of my life. And he goes on, he says in verse 13, it makes you... You and I are called to make straight paths for our feet. We are supposed to be going out there and removing those stumbling blocks. What are those stumbling blocks in your life? What do they look like? Maybe it's the friends you have. Maybe it's an app on your phone. Maybe it's the places you go. You know, it's not the same for each one of us. We are vulnerable in different areas, in different places. But what are those areas? What are those strategies that the enemy has set up against you? And go to God. Make that a matter of prayer. And reflection before God and say, in 2025, this is going to change. I am going to press through to God aggressively in this area in my life. Because he says, then that which is lame, and I like to think of that which is lame as being that place of vulnerability. Where are you lame? Where are you limping? And how can that be strengthened? And then, because if it's not strengthened, it's going to be dislocated. It's like an accident waiting to happen. As long as you're lame in that area, you're a sitting duck for the enemy. And it's just a matter of time until the right circumstances come along and you're going to stumble. And so don't wait till you stumble, but learn to recognize where you're lame and say, God, bring healing into that area in my life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May 2025 be a time of refreshing, a time of growing, a time of building. I thought of that as us as individuals, as us as a church. What does God want to do in my life in 2025? Where does God want to take me? What is my goal? What is God's vision for me? And what is God's vision for us as a church? And how can we press towards that by his grace? Father, I pray in Jesus' name against any discouragement, despair, any unbelief. I pray, Lord, that you would give us hope and vision and inspiration, that you'd give us revelation, that you'd give us understanding, and Lord, that you would heal those areas of lameness in our lives, that they would not be dislocated, but rather be strengthened, that those weary hands and arms would be lifted by the power of the Spirit. I pray against any discouraging, condemning voice. And I pray, God, for the spirit of grace and hope to be poured out upon us, upon the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, he likes me. Some of you say, yes, he really loves me. I know he loves me.